Okay, please turn in your Bibles to the book of Ruth. And we just sang The Secret Place, words by R.C. Sproul. And the last line in there, verse 4, refuge and fortress for all who trust, no safer pasture for men of dust, neath wings and feathers of Holy Lord, no greater comfort can he afford. And we will see that this word wing is repeated twice in Ruth, of getting a protector. So we'll refer back to that, Lord willing. Okay, let me review just a little bit real quick from last week. This is part two tonight, and tonight we're going to focus on a display of God's kindness. A display of God's kindness, because as mentioned last week, one of the questions that's raised in the book of Ruth is this: are human beings kinder than God? And the answer is no. God is the one who has everlasting kindness. And we certainly see in the book of Ruth kindness by people, kindness by various people at different times. And we had mentioned at the beginning of Ruth, in the first chapter, it kind of lays out what had happened, where there was famine in the land, and Naomi is married to Elimelech, and they flee from Israel during the famine, and they go to Moab. They're from Bethlehem, and they go 50 miles away, roughly, to Moab and live there. And while living there, Naomi's husband, Elimelech, dies, and they have two sons. Their two sons marry Moabite women, which was a violation of God's law. And while living there, the two sons die without any children. So the two daughter-in-laws have to make a decision. Are they going to go back with Naomi to Israel or not? Naomi hears that there is now food. God has provided food in Israel, that the famine had ended. And Ruth is the one that chose to go back with Naomi, not Orpah, the other daughter-in-law. So Ruth, this book, is the only book in the Bible named after a non-Jew. A non-Jew. She is a Moabite. Sometimes referred to as a Moabitess, as a woman who is a Moabite. There's only one other book named after a woman in the Old Testament, Esther. So she shows kindness in going back with Naomi. Ruth shows her kindness. And Naomi had showed kindness in praying for her daughter-in-laws. And when they get back to Israel, look at chapter 1, verse 19. Look at chapter 1, verse 19. Again, there's only four chapters in Ruth. So last week we read all of chapter 1, and we'll read more tonight. But for review, just look at chapter 1, verse 19 real quick. Read chapter 1, verse 19 through 22. 119 to 22. Now the two of them, because Ruth chose to go back with Naomi to Bethlehem. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" But she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi." And Naomi literally meant sweetness, or pleasant in Hebrew, sweetness. She said, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara," which literally means bitter. "For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. She knows that all of this frowning providence is from God's hand, ultimately permitting bad things to take place. Her husband died, her two sons die, and she's left without anything, really. Now, verse 21, I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. And she's just complaining here, and she sees her life is empty. She says, why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. Now she sees her life empty, as we noted last week, but really she is failing to see by faith that God is already at work to bless her. The timing of when she returns is at the beginning of the barley harvest, and Ruth is returning with her. So we see God already at work to bless her with his kindness. So we'll look at several things, that several displays of God's kindness here as we go through Ruth. God provides food. He shows his kindness. He displays his kindness in providing food in chapter 2. So look at chapter 2 here. I'm going to read chapter 2. We're going to do some public reading of Scripture this evening. 2 verse 1. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. Okay, so he's a close relative of the man that Naomi had married, Elimelech. And this man's name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go out to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. In other words, trying to collect whatever was left over after those who were doing the harvesting. That's that sense of gleaning. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered, the Lord bless you. What a wonderful greeting and response. Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, of the harvesters, whose young woman is this? So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. Then Boaz said to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? She's an alien, a foreigner. And Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Then she said, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. And when she arose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also, let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where have you gleaned today? And where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord, who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said to her, "This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives." Ruth the Moabitess said, "He also said to me, 'You shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women and that people do not meet you in any other field." So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest and wheat harvest. And she dwelt with her mother-in-law. Here we see a display of God's kindness in providing food. And several things we see. Number one is God's law is at work. God's law is at work with the gleaning laws in Israel, where God had in his laws particular rules for how fields were to be harvested so that there would be some left over for the poor, for widows, the fatherless, that they could go out and glean and collect from the fields. I remember reading one scholar many years ago that said it's kind of interesting, though, that this was God's structure in Israel of providing food for the poor. And yet, they had to go out and work to get it. It wasn't just a handout. They had to go out. She was working all day, collecting, gleaning. And Ruth gleaned from the fields until the barley and wheat harvests were finished in chapter 2, verse 23. But God wanted the fatherless, the widows, and the aliens to have something to eat. The aliens are the foreigners. Two, God brought Naomi home at just the right time, when the barley harvest had begun, as we saw there in chapter 1, verse 22. We also see God at work. God had promised famine if his people were disobedient. The whole book starts with Elimelech taking his wife, family, to Moab. And they fleed. They ran away. Look at chapter 1, verse 1. "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem," this is Elimelech, "went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons." And Mark Dever points out repentance, not flight, was the proper response. They voluntarily exiled themselves in Moab. God had promised several times that famine would come upon sin. If there was sin in Israel, famine would come. And what God would be calling Israel to do then is repent in Israel, not flee. But God is sovereign. This is Ruth is a story of God's providence for his own. God's providence for his own. And he's dealing with Israel in particular ways. He's dealing with Naomi in particular ways, dealing with Ruth in particular ways. God had promised Fourth, God had promised rain and food when they repented. We see that also in Deuteronomy, as we saw a promise of famine also in Deuteronomy. So when Naomi returned after hearing God's blessing of providing food, chapter 1, verse 6, "Now she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread." So what's implied, obviously, is that they had repented. We know the cycles in the book of Judges. This is during the time of Judges, where there was blessing from God. Israel responded by eventually sinning, straying away from God, and God would bring judgment upon them, whether bringing foreigners in to war against them, famine, and they would call for repentance. They would cry out for help from God, and God would bring a judge to deliver them from their enemies. Upon returning, as we read in review, upon returning, Naomi still complains against God. She sees her life as empty. She sees her life as empty. In verse 21, "I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty." Now, in chapter 2, verse 20, as we just read, chapter 2, verse 20, after hearing about Boaz and his kindness to Ruth, look what Naomi says there, chapter 2, verse 20. "Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, 'Blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness,'" God's kindness, "to the living and the dead." Naomi praises God for his kindness with Boaz and Ruth. Naomi recognizes that God is behind Boaz's decisions, behind his kindness, that ultimately God is behind that. So God not only provided food, we also see that God provides a husband for Ruth. Chapter 3, verse 1 through chapter 4, verse 13a. Chapter 3, verse 1 through chapter 4, verse 13a. So I'm going to read this also. Hear now the word of God. "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, 'My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself, put on your best garment, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be, when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies. You shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do.' And she said to her, 'All that you say to me I will do.' So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, 'Who are you?' So she answered, 'I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing.'" There's that term again, under your wing, "for you are a close relative." We'll explain what that means in a minute. "Then he said, 'Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, and that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman.'" Let me just say right now, she's requesting that he be her husband. Okay? That was the custom at that time. Okay? We'll get into that in a minute. That's why he's saying, "Blessed are you. You didn't go after her. You're asking me to be your husband." And he had taken notice of her, as we saw in the field. Now it is true that I am a close relative. However, verse 12, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good. Let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning. So she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one could recognize another. Then he said, do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. Also he said, bring the shawl that is on you and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, is that you, my daughter? Then she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, these 6 ephahs of barley he gave me, for he said to me, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Oh, in God's grace there. Then she said, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out, for the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. Beginning of chapter 4. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, come aside, friend, sit down here. So he came aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here. So they sat down. Then he said to the close relative, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know. For there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you, the next closest relative. And he said, I will redeem it. Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance. And the close relative said, I cannot redeem it for myself then, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning the redeeming and exchanging to confirm anything, to confirm the contractual arrangement. One man took off his sandal and gave it to the other, and this was a confirmation in Israel, like it just got notarized. Therefore, the close relative said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. So he took off his sandal. And Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are my witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's, the 2 sons that had died also, from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from his position at the gate. You are my witnesses this day. And all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to our house like Rachel and Leah, the 2 who built the house of Israel, and may you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. We'll end there for now. We'll pick up there in a minute. Now, we see God's providence here in his kindness in providing a husband for Ruth. Now, Naomi had a duty to continue her husband's name by raising up an heir for him through Ruth and to provide security for Ruth with a husband. Because some will be quite critical of Naomi saying, wow, there's a lot of scheming going on here. But really what she ends up doing is instructing Ruth about protections afforded by God's laws in Israel. There were many protections afforded by God's laws in Israel to the widows and others. Okay, to the poor and the widows. We'll get to that in a minute here too. Ruth appealed to Boaz then to be her protector, And that's where they went through her going in, taking off his sandals, lying at his feet. She would like to be engaged, to be married to Boaz. And seeking out him through those customs at that time, which was a different form of, certainly a different custom at that time. But what's interesting is notice the comparison there of chapter 2, verse 12, and chapter 3, verse 9. Chapter 2, verse 12. This is Boaz. Boaz talking to Ruth. Chapter 2, verse 12. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Under whose wings you have come for refuge. Notice, look back at chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Look back at chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Remember, look at verse 15. This is Naomi talking to her. Look, your sister-in-law, Orpah, has gone back to her people and to her gods among the Moabites. She said, return after your sister-in-law. She tells Ruth. But Ruth said, verse 16, entreat me not to leave you or to go back from following after you or wherever you, for wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. And your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. There will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. But the key there, and your God, my God. And that's, Boaz says that you're under God's wings. Under God's wings. And then look at chapter 3, verse 9. Remember, Pastor Ron always points out, always take notice when words are repeated, right? Look at chapter 3, verse 9. And he said, who are you? So she answered, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing. The Hebrew word there is the same Hebrew word. Sometimes it's translated garment as wing. But take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. That's where she's asking to be under his protection. We'll get back to that later on also. Okay, let me spin this around. Speak a little bit here as Boaz as kinsman redeemer. Kinsman redeemer. A couple points. Deuteronomy 25, 5 and 6. Let me read that here so you get a flavor of this. Deuteronomy 25, 5 and 6. It says this, if brothers dwell together and one of them dies and has no son, this is the law of the land here in Israel, the widow of the dead man shall not be married to a stranger outside the family. Her husband's brother shall go into her, take her as his wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. And it shall be that the firstborn son which she bears will succeed to the name of his dead brother, that his name may not be blotted out of Israel. This is where Ruth then is pointing toward a Levirate marriage in the Old Testament that preserves the family line and provides for the needs of the poor and the landless. Also, so we have, now I'll say this too, when you're pondering this, Naomi had two sons, right? That's all she had, right? Ruth's husband died, but the brother-in-law also died. The brother of her husband also died in Moab. So there was no brother remaining of the widow. So where do you go to the next closest relative? Up the next generation. Her father-in-law Elimelech had close relatives, men, Boaz, that could marry her. You see? Leviticus 25:25. Look at Leviticus 25:25. Dealing with the redemption of property. This is also part of the law of Israel, the redemption of property. Leviticus 25:25. If one of your brethren becomes poor and has sold some piece of his possession. I mean, they're poor, they need the money, so they sell the land. They're poor, they need the money, they sell the land. So, to live off the money. And if his redeeming relative comes to redeem it, to buy it back, then he may redeem what his brother sold. The law is that it should stay in the family, stay in the family line. It has this idea, if a poor person sold land in Israel to live off the money, the nearest relative, this is the kinsman, like a kinsman redeemer, next of kin, next of family. The nearest relative was to redeem what his family sold, what the family sold. It kept the land in the family. No family then ultimately became landless in Israel. So Boaz then is functioning as a kinsman redeemer. He ends up being... because Ruth's dead husband, Mahlon, had no surviving brothers to marry, but his father, Elimelech, had other close relatives. The closest relative, closer than Boaz, decided, I don't want to redeem it. I don't want to redeem the property because I have to take Ruth as my wife too, and I'm not going to do that. Boaz was kind of a bit shrewd because he gave him the good thing first, and said the land, and then what would otherwise the guy would say, well, I don't think I want Ruth as my wife. The Moab, a Moabitess, this alien and foreigner, they were not friends, the Moabites, with the Israelites. So he buys back the land and becomes, by redeeming, redemption, remember, redemption always involves a price, right? We've been redeemed not with gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Christ, right? 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, without spot and blemish. That's what we've been purchased with, redeemed with, the precious blood of Christ. In Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, Ephesians 1:7. This is where Boaz is foreshadowing Christ, our Redeemer, who takes us under his wing, under his protection. What are we in the middle of in Ephesians? Christ in the church, and what do we have that represented to the watching world? The Christian husband to his Christian wife. Christ is our Boaz. He is our kinsman redeemer. He's taken us under his wing. He is the husband of the church. We also see, thirdly here, in God not only providing food, a husband, but providing a child. Providing a child. Let me read 4:13 through 17 here. 4:13. I'll read all of 13 there. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi." And they called his name Obed. There is a son born to Naomi, and her son there is a grandson, Obed. She is the grandmother. Naomi is the grandmother of Obed. Now, God is not only kind in providing her food and providing her daughter-in-law Ruth a husband, in providing them a child, providing Naomi a grandson and Ruth a son, but also in providing a king. Also in providing a king. Look at, I'll read chapter 4, verse 17 there to the end. Also the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi." And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, who is the father of David. We're talking King David. Now this is the genealogy of Perez. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Aminadab. Aminadab begot Nashon. And Nashon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz. Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David. So Obed begot Jesse, who begot David. In this sense here, Ruth is David's great-grandmother. Obed is David's grandpa. So, Obed's mother is a great-grandmother. Right? Deuteronomy chapter 10. Let me read that here. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 18. This is speaking of the Lord God. He administers justice for the fatherless, and the widow loves the stranger, the alien, the foreigner, giving him food and clothing. God has something special in his heart for those that that are very vulnerable. Think here also, like Rahab, the Canaanite, if you remember, she was in Jericho. She hid the spies. Like Rahab, the Canaanite, before her, Ruth seems converted to follow the true and living God. Remember, she said, Ruth's testimony, "Your God will be my God. Your God will be my God." And Boaz's testimony, right? Boaz's testimony there also in chapter 2, verse 12. "Under whose wings you have come for refuge." That's Boaz's testimony of what Ruth did. She has come to be under God's wings, ultimately. Another thing that's interesting here is the word for return in Hebrew is also translated repent in the Old Testament. The Hebrew word for return is also translated repent in the Old Testament. Look at how that word is repeated. Chapter 1, verse 6. "Then she arose and her with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab." In chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. "But Naomi said, 'Turn back, my daughters.'" In other words, this idea of turning back and returning. In chapter 1, 22, "So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest." So there may be something to that also with them returning at least to say that there was some repentance of her of sin coming back to Israel after her time, even though there was some bitterness that remained in her heart, keeping a grudge in a sense for the frowning providence. We think too in Ruth of the Lord's chesed, of the Lord's chesed in Hebrew, God's everlasting love and kindness. Look at Psalm 36, verse 7. It's one spot. There's many, obviously. But this is pretty neat here with wings. Psalm 36, verse 7. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. Wonderful verse for Ruth. You think... Think about this also. In Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, says this, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting." Obviously the coming Christ, the coming Messiah. Now look at Matthew chapter 1, the genealogy here of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. This is the only place that Ruth is mentioned in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. So Ruth there makes it in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Ruth the Moabitess. And you think of Matthew chapter 1 verse 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then you think of the Great Commission at the very end of Matthew. Chapter 28, verse 19. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." That Christ is King of kings, Lord of lords, and we are to go out into all the nations. And what? A Gentile, along with Rahab. Gentiles are in the line of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. You think... The book of Job begins and ends with blessings and reflects upon trials in the middle in the book of Job. Ruth begins with trials and then lays out a story of God's blessings. In only four chapters, chapter 1 really is the introduction, and end of chapter 4 is the conclusion. In the middle two chapters are two days in the life of Ruth. 2 days in the life of chapter 2 is when she's fed. And chapter 3, going into the beginning of chapter 4, is when she's wed. And God's loving kindness is everlasting. And may you and I trust in Him under the shadow of His wings. God is good. And His loving kindness far surpasses any human beings. Pastor Ron?